Blog Talk Radio.
When did you read
about geoengineering, we'd talk about all kinds of things, and especially about chemtrails and spraying. This is an important article in relation to that, and I'm going to read it to you. And this is from Natural News. Nano-sized aluminum being sprayed in the atmosphere, causing degenerative disease, says a neurosurgeon. Back in the 1960s, quiet scientific dialogue began about global climate change and how it can be manipulated. What might have turned into a productive discussion of responsible protection of the Earth's climate and ecosystem had eventually evolved into a mad controlling science experiment. By the 21st century, jumbo jets were being deployed to drop millions of dollars of nano-sized aluminum and other particles into the sky in attempts to reflect sunlight away from the Earth and cool climate temperatures. This science experiment has exploited populations of people. Oh dear, a minute. Populations of people to mass amounts of airborne metals that are literally raining down and poisoning everyone, slowly and subtly. According to neurosurgeon Russell A. Blaylock, the nano-sized aluminum particles found in chemtrails are contributing heavily to degenerative diseases today. Like in bioengineering, where scientists rewired the DNA of crops, creating genetically modified foods, geoengineering is the global attempt to manipulate the sun and the Earth's climate. In both mass engineering operations, professionals try to play God, but it's a given nature and natural processes cannot and were never meant to be controlled. Hence, we see the unintended consequences of degenerative diseases occurring today due to GMOs and geoengineering. All the disease statistics are neglected, however, as controllers justify their means. Essentially, there needs to be a massive public outcry against geoengineering, similar to the outcry against genetically modified crops. As the reality of geoengineering takes hold and as the consequences mount, it's never too late to stop the madness and work together for a real grassroots environmental conservation. As these geoengineering experiments utilize military jumbo jets to unleash massive amounts of nano-sized aluminum, strontium, and barium particles into the atmosphere, many may wonder if the global warming debate is just a political distraction to gain public acceptance for these geoengineering tactics. Many people are beginning to feel that these chemtrails are secretly employed to control and depopulate. After all, millions of unknowing people have become victims to these mass sprays as they've become like fish in a bowl. Check your skies for chemtrails and you'll see. The effects of greenhouse gases are real, but when did any group, government, or billionaire gain the authority to use jets to pour massive amounts of elements on unsuspecting populations of people? As much as their research sounds accredited, they have no moral authority and they have no idea what they are destroying as soil and plants soak up the mass sprays falling on them. When quiet discussions about climate change erupted in the 1960s, that's the same loop that's on. Isn't that funny? that's something to think about.
Well, that's that you're done.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get my. I have a lot of stuff here coming up, but.
Just let me read a little bit about what the illnesses that are caused by this. One of the things that they recognize that are caused by this spraying is Alzheimer's. And these nanoparticles have a severe impact on the brain and spinal cord, as a growing list of neurodegenerative diseases, including Alzheimer's, dementia, Parkinson's disease, and Lou Gehrig's disease. The aluminum nanoparticles can penetrate the brain through the blood and the olfactory nerves in the nose. Passing through the olfactory neural tracts, aluminum particles easily penetrate the area of the brain most affected by Alzheimer's disease. Furthermore, in Alzheimer's cases, the part of the brain is shown to contain the highest levels of aluminum. The aluminum particles also enter the body through the respiratory system, where they have been shown to cause tremendous inflammation in the lungs, further aggravating conditions like asthma and pulmonary diseases. Due to their small size, the aluminum particles can even enter the gastrointestinal tract and can disperse into many other organs and tissues in the body, including the spinal cord. As a neurosurgeon who interacts daily with neurological disease, Dr. Blaylock addresses, in his address, states his objection to the global spraying of aluminum into the skies. And this is a quote from him. Steps need to be taken now to prevent an impending health disaster of enormous proportions if this project is not stopped immediately. Otherwise, we will see an explosive increase in neurodegenerative diseases occurring in adults and the elderly at an unprecedented rate, as well as neurodevelopment disorders in our children. We are already seeing a dramatic increase in these neurological disorders, and is occurring in younger people more than ever before.
Okay.
So that's something to think about, folks.
Yeah. I wanted to mention tonight, since we're on there, we've got on the chemtrails weather, I wanted to talk tonight about two things. Number one, the heart program is a big thing, but in two different directions. Snowden leaks evidence of HARPS, that's the weather control system that we have in this country and all around, and actually the stations around the world that are affecting the weather as a weapon. And the HARPS global assassination agenda, Snowden leaked this evidence recently. And it says Snowden leaks evidence of HARPS global assassination agenda. NSA whistleblower and fugitive released documents Tuesday to to Internet Chronicle reporters, proving that the high-frequency active aurora program is actually being used for assassinations, right?
Mm-hmm.
By the NSA. It's really amazing. It's freaking amazing.
That's by using weather.
While the military-industrial complex has routinely insisted that the Alaskan-based HARP is not is only meant for study a natural phenomenon in Earth's ionosphere, Snowden has managed to blow open a brutally massive charade. The HARP research station, he said, strategically based away from prying eyes near Gokona, Alaska, is actually used to terminate or manipulate would-be dissidents of global capitalism in a scale of millions of people. Added Snowden, using finger quotes, with these terrestrial antennas, NATO, North Atlantic Treaty Organization, is able to, on a global scale, remotely silence perpetrators of a deviant or subversive strain of thought. Unbeknownst to victims or their loved ones, HAARP projects ultra-high-powered radio waves. Those waves operate at the same electronic frequency as the truncus encephaly, or brainstem. Selectively induces death, seemingly by natural causes, including by some appearing to coroners as innocuous as strokes or heart attacks. When and if the intelligence community doesn't view outright assassination as a primal effect, said Snowden, they can simply make a target act as an insane in an insane fashion in order to discredit them. When we were in transit between Hong Kong and Moscow, WikiLeaks staff and I had to fend off the constant threat of radio-generated homicidal delusions. excuse me, where's the water thing? Quickly ushering staff into his lavish room at the Sheremet Yevo Airport Hotel, Novotel, the former NSA contractor quickly began to explain himself. Due to confidentiality agreements with a 30-year-old formerly of Booz Allen Hamilton, the Chronicle cannot elaborate beyond the point that he has outfitted his entire flat to be a thoroughly functioning Faraday cage.
Snowden haphazardly constructed Faraday cage, he claims, can block interference from external static and non-static electric fields. Without it, he says, I would have been dead the moment the Guardian first story went to print. Snowden boosted his testimony with HAARP documents gleaned from the private email accounts of officials as high-ranking as admirals and Air Force brigadier generals. Sources within the intelligence community have confirmed the Internet Chronicle the authenticity of these documents, as well as their horrifying ramifications for human dignity.
Snowden's testimony appears to be partially in line with that of the U.S. Senator's brother in 2009. It was then that he, Nick Agick, told Conspiracy Theory with Jesse Ventura that just to affect the brain with emotional state changes is so easily accomplished with HAARP. And there's an excerpt to that here that I'll play.
Let's play that. Senator's brother's government's HAARP controls. Okay.
My controls, yeah.
And the mind is able to pick a signal out, like going through the radio station, you're dialing through the station, you get all the static. As soon as you get resonance, harmony between the transmitter and receiver, you get a nice clear signal. The same is true in terms of the human chemistry, in terms of our chemistry, our cell structure, body organs, or the brain. This is a standard CD player. And what these are is piezoelectric transducers, and in simple language, they carry a signal that can enter the nervous system so that you can get that proverbial a voice in the head. And so by activating this, placing these electrodes, you know, on the surface of the skin, blocking the ears tightly, you'll hear the music just as if your ears were playing it, but the ears have nothing to do with it. The eighth cranial nerve, the part that connects to the brain, has nothing to do with it. It's a different
way. Is that working right now?
Yeah, we can get it cranked up here.
Crank it up. I want to try it. So in other words, I can touch this to my neck and hear it without my ears hearing it, and no one else in the room will hear it.
That is correct. I want you to block your ears really tightly so you can't hear it. So what did you hear?
Well, I heard music, right. But it's strange because I listened to try to figure out where the music was coming from, and it seemed like right here.
Right.
It sounded like I was hearing right. It almost through the top of my head or my forehead.
Right. But just to affect the brain with emotional state changes is so easily accomplished.
So we got mind control?
Absolutely. In fact, if you go back historically, back to the 1960s when all of this work really started, the idea of mind control experiments, one of the guys that the New York Times reported was one of those experimental subjects was a Unabomber. If you remember, he attacked people who were involved in technology.
Well, folks, that kind of explains what's happening here in HAARP.
And
now,
that sort of explains the Unabomber.
Yeah. And we've got more stuff. One more thing I wanted to bring up was that they're actually...
That was too short.
Well, one thing that's quite frightening is they're actually... This is another article that I have that I wanted to share. The other one is about HARP, is the... I got this one. Snowden has been nominated for Nobel Peace Prize.
Oh.
Yeah, that was really cool.
I hope he lives to collect it.
But the one I wanted to show is this one on that they actually sold HARP. They're selling HARP.
To whom?
It's a private investment or something. I've got it here. HARP is not shut down, only bought by the highest bidder group. This is from Weatherstand.com.
Pretty scary.
Yeah. So, let me read this. It's not a very long article. The Alaskan,
this is from Weatherstates.com.
Right. The Alaskan HARP facility website has been down for quite some time. Having many ask the question on what is going on with it, an announcement was made that the resources to fund the project have been spent and the project has shut down. But this isn't the case. As it stated in their official release, the facility is being bought by the highest bidder. HARP status updates are continuing, so either the facility is still on, run by another group of scientists, or other facilities with the same technology are continuing to affect the atmosphere. There are many facilities like HARP across the world, with smaller ones said to be in the United States as well. An article stating the atmosphere is in reversal sparks interest to the timing the facility shut down. Is Mother Nature confused because of what the facility did? Only time will tell. Readings are still up across the world with or without the Alaska facility. It is worth to note we have had a lack of hurricanes so far this season, with not one being officially a hurricane hitting the United States. So, as I was saying. So to email the CEO and senior meteorologist at theweatherspace.com, go to admin@theweatherspace.com if you have any questions about this. But that's kind of a fascinating thing, all right, to know that.
But we had a ton of hurricanes last year.
Yeah, well, they were in operation, but so far, for some reason, this facility is down.
Huh.
It isn't operating, which I think is interesting.
They're moving somewhere, that's for sure.
There's so much I wanted to talk about tonight. I've got so many great articles, but I wanted to... One thing that everybody's been talking about Zimmerman thing, you know,
mm-hmm.
Zimmerman, pardon me. But here's a statement that was made by Booker T. Washington, a very famous black man who invented, I think he invented peanut butter and everything else. This guy was an inventor, very, very respected man. And he says, "What a disgrace about..."
What happened?
I got whacked.
Again?
Yeah. I'm getting spiked.
Well,
and you know what? You know what? That was on my Mozilla. They can whack me on Mozilla.
So, just be patient, folks.
I'm sorry, folks, but that, you know, I've been getting spiked. And every so often, every Tuesday night, Wednesday night.
Would you like me to go
to Facebook?
You
seem to be vulnerable to it.
Facebook?
Yeah, I wish you would. Seem to be vulnerable to it, and especially on my Mozilla browser.
So how do I do that?
So, just sorry, folks, I didn't take a few minutes. I'm going to go to a music break, and we'll be back.
Good
right
idea.
After that, okay.
that inconvenience. Leah was about to read a statement by Booker T. Washington, kind of in reference to what's going on in the nation between the Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin verdict. So see what you think. And don't forget, Booker T. Washington was a black man, a brilliant, brilliant man. What a disgrace about race in our nation. The most racist people are the ones who keep bringing it up and make a business out of keeping people divided. I learned this from the writings of a man of character who once said, "There is another class of colored people who make a business of keeping the troubles, the wrongs, and the hardships of the Negro race before the public. Having learned that they are able to make a living out of their troubles, they have grown into a settled habit of advertising their wrongs, partly because they want sympathy and partly because it pays. Some of these people do not want the Negro to lose his grievances because they don't want to lose their jobs." Booker T. Washington.
So Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson and all those people who are NAACP and everybody else, he had them pegged right there. So I find that fascinating that he would say that. And but, you know, hey, that's what he did. There's many more things I wanted to talk about here. The other thing that amazed me was, I don't know if you're following Monsanto.
Well, Monsanto, just the very mention of that company, you know it's up to no good. They're responsible for so much damage to the environment, to people, to animals, to all living things on the planet. They're hurting. They hurt plants. They hurt animals.
Yeah. That's pretty bad.
Horrible company, a company of death.
Blacks, Hispanic youth, blacks, Hispanics, the youth are abandoning Obama, that the Washington Examiner.
That's interesting.
I thought this was an interesting article because it says here that feeling let down by a president they once had high expectations for, blacks, Hispanics, and younger voters are starting to give up on President Obama. Pollster John Zogby told Secrets that, this is from Secrets, the Examiner, actually, Washington Examiner. Zogby told Secrets that his latest poll found a big drop in support from the president among the three key in his constituency who feel Obama hasn't delivered the results he promised in his reelection campaign. These three groups all have high expectations and feel a sense of ownership because of their strong support, said Pollster said. He is losing some of the strength he once enjoyed among groups that have formed the nucleus of his coalition. Consider the results from the latest Zogby analytics poll of 919 likely voters taken July 12th to 13th. While Obama won 61% of the youth vote in 2012, only 46% approved of his job as president. He won with 71% of Hispanics and 93% of African Americans, but now stands at 68 and 84 respectively. All right? I think it's worse than that because what I have is I have an interesting video that I don't want to play. Zogby said Hispanics are nervous about immigration reform. They want the president to do more to make good on his promise and blah, blah, blah. I mean, he's got a million things that he hasn't put up, he hasn't done. And so they're losing any respect.
I mean, they might have a few black people who are appointed to various offices, but a few individual blacks are doing well. But the rest of the black people aren't.
No. And I want to leave you with
He hasn't done much.
I want to just give you a quote by Noam Chomsky. It says, governments will use whatever technology is available to them to combat their primary enemy, their own population. That's pretty good.
Right? That made
a lot of sense to me.
Pretty scary. Larry Silverstein 9/11 insurance fraud trial begins in New York.
Yep, that's a pretty long article, but.
What's the gist of that, Leo?
Well, it just it's kind of a long story because what Fancher did was. He owned the World Trade Center.
Yeah.
And he got paid for that. Right?
Full of asbestos.
He got $3.5 billion, okay, from the insurance companies for that. And now he's suing the airlines for the same amount. Okay. And says that the airlines were responsible for that happening. Okay.
So how many times should he get paid?
So you're saying that he wants to get paid twice,
uh-huh,
for that. So, pretty damn.
Well,
and supposedly, whether this is true or not, I don't know who that judge is, but according to that article, the most corrupt judge in New York is presiding over
that insurance investigation.
Yep.
Well, conveniently, those twin trade towers had to be knocked down anyway. They were full of asbestos, and conveniently, they got blown up.
Yep. So, and he's trying. He's going to court. So, for some reason, I can't get into this. Oh my God.
And there's a photo here on Monsanto. Michael Taylor, former Monsanto vice president, is now the FDA deputy commissioner for foods. Robert Beachy, former director of the Monsanto-funded Danforth Plant Science Center, is now the director of the USDA National Institute of Food and Agriculture. Oh, God. Islam Siddiqui, vice president of the Monsanto and DuPont-funded pesticide-promoting lobbying group, CropLife, is now the agriculture negotiator for the U.S. Trade Representative. Rajiv Shah, former agricultural development director for the Biotech Gates Foundation, a frequent partner, Monsanto partner, served as Obama's, and I can't really see what he served as. It's kind of covered there. Maybe it will be bigger. Served as Obama's USDA Undersecretary for the Research, Education, Economics, and Chief Scientist, and is now head of USAID. Solicitor General Eleanor Kagan, who took Monsanto's side against organic farmers in the Roundup Ready alfalfa case, is on the Supreme Court. Pretty sick, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Sick.
Did they say Thomas was part of that, too?
No.
No. Thomas is a Supreme Court justice. He was a lawyer for Monsanto. Really, really interesting stuff.
Oh, how about this? Monsanto executive gets Nobel Peace Prize of Food.
Yes.
Oh.
That was fascinating.
The agricultural equivalent to the Nobel Peace Prize for Food
goes to the CEO, I think, of Monsanto.
In a blatant act of transgression against the population of the world in real science, the agricultural equivalent to the Nobel Peace Prize, known as the World Food Prize, has been given to a Monsanto executive and two associates for their role in the development of genetically modified crops. Oh, how sick is that? Robert Farley, The chief technology officer at Monsanto will be given $250,000 in cash, along with his prestigious award that was presented at the U.S. State Department on Wednesday. It's ironic, really, because the U.S. State Department just so happens to also be using our tax dollars to market Monsanto internationally with promotional marketing, DVDs, and pamphlets. To put it simply, they quite literally act as a marketing wing for Monsanto, the corporation that might as well be a government entity. It is rather fitting, then, that Monsanto's executives be adorned with the World Food Prize along with a sack of cash at the headquarters of the Monsanto marketing wing, that is, the U.S. State Department. But, of course, there are also two other scientists being honored for their work against human and environmental health, so it's important to also identify these corporate scientists as well. First, you have Mary Dell Chilton, who is the founder of the rising star biotech company Syngenta, the same great company charged for covering up the fact that they knew their own GMO corn had been killing animals after its consumption, an admission that would ultimately doom their bottom line profits and unveil the reality that Syngenta's GM crops are indeed unfit for human consumption. As for the third scientist, Mark Van Montague, he is a European cheerleader for GM crops who founded the Institute of Plant Technology Outreach at Ghent University in Belgium in order to help Monsanto get a stronger foothold in European nations that reject GM crops. So why have these individuals been given a World Food Prize, especially when over 900 scientists working under the United Nations were forced to admit after extensive research that GMOs lead to decreased yields and are easily outperformed by traditional farming with ease? Probably the same reason the U.S. government continues to support Monsanto despite complete public disapproval and outcry. That same conclusion that GM crops cannot feed the world was also reached in the report, Failure to Yield Following 20 Years of Research. Nevertheless, the World Food Prize has gone to these manipulators of the food supply in open opposition against human health and sustainability. As to why, the president of the World Food Prize Foundation stated, "These three scientists are being recognized for the independent individual breakthrough achievements in founding, developing, and applying modern agricultural biotechnology," said foundation head Kenneth Quinn. "It's time to stop Monsanto and GMO crops at large. Take part in the Monsanto Video Revolt, an initiative I am launching along with Mike Adams of Natural News and Dr. Edward Group of the Global Health Healing Center. It's time to tell Monsanto to get out and turn activism into legislation. Join the Monsanto Video Revolt right now and get the world out by uploading your video against Monsanto on an online revolution."
Who's this?
This site is called Minds.
Minds.
Yeah.
There's much more. There's a couple more really great articles that I want to read tonight.
He said there was a video, too.
Yeah, well, you can't play it on this. Since we got spiked, I can't get it.
Yes, I can play it for you.
I don't think so.
Is it YouTube? I can play it.
You can play YouTube?
Uh-huh.
There's another thing I wanted to mention tonight. And it's very quick. But, you know, if anybody thinks Obama is a sweet son of a bitch that he is, all right, here we go. This might make you change your mind. Obama's new executive order states that there is an enforcement of mandatory HIV testing for all individuals ages 15 to 65 years old. Will be overseen by the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force and in coordination with the Department of Health and Human Services.
From what age?
15 to 65. Forced medications for us all may be around the corner. This is important. Pass this article around to everyone you know. Share the article.
And this is from OccupyCorporatism.com. Executive order. All Americans must be tested for HIV. Right? So it's really, that's really frightening, guys. Really, really frightening. Everybody's going to have a mandatory test. Oh, here's a wonderful article. Very quick. But it's from Know Your Popes. Yes. Pope number 14. Pope Innocent. I'm sorry. Know Your Popes, number 14. Pope Innocent the 4th, 1243 to 1254, declared the Church had sovereign dominion over the whole world and hence owned all the wealth to be found on earth and legal authority over all people. He officially authorized the use of torture for eliciting confessions from heretics, e.g., witches, Jews, non-Catholic Christians, thereby transforming Inquisition chambers into places of abject horror. He decreed that the minimum sentence, including mandatory flagellation, and that relapsed heretics be burned alive and their assets seized.
Nice guy.
What a wonderful guy. Huh? Yeah. And now they're standing down, now they're making these guys saints. Oh, my God. Oh, well. Anyway, just thought I'd read that quip there. And in the meantime, in the world, this is from National Change, or Nation of Change, and by Chris Hedges, I guess what it is. And it says, locking out the voices of dissent. The security and surveillance state, after crushing the Occupy movement and eradicating its encampments, have mounted a relentless and largely clandestine campaign to deny public space to any group or movement that might spawn another popular uprising. The legal system has been grotesquely deformed in most cities, too, and in essence, shut public space to protesters, eradicating our right to free speech and peaceful assembly. The goal of the corporate state is to criminalize democratic popular dissent before there is another popular eruption. The vast state surveillance system detailed in Edward Snowden's revelations to the British newspaper, The Guardian, at the same time ensures that no action or protest can occur without the advanced knowledge of our internal security apparatus. This foreknowledge has allowed the internal security systems to proactively block activists from public spaces as well as carry out preemptive harassment, interrogation, intimidation, detention, and arrest before protests can begin. There is a word for this type of political system, tyranny. If the state is ultimately successful in preventing us from mobilizing public spaces, then dissent will mutate from nonviolent mass protest to clandestine and perhaps violent acts of resistance. Some demonstrators have already been branded domestic terrorists under the law. The real guard effort by a handful of activists to protect our rights to be heard and peaceably assemble is perhaps the most crucial, though unseen, struggle we currently are engaged in with the corporate state. It is a struggle to salvage what is left of our civil society and our right to nonviolent resistance against corporate tyranny. This is why the New York City trial last week, as members of Veterans for Peace, along with other activists, took on an importance that belied the simple trespassing charges against them. The activists were arrested on October 7, 2012, while they were placing flowers in 11 vases and reading the names of the dead inscribed on the walls of New York Vietnam Veterans Memorial Plaza after the official closing time of 10 p.m. In defiance of the plaza's official closing time, which appears to be enforced against political activists only, was spawned by a May 1st, 2012 protest by a Occupy Wall Street activist. The Occupy activists had attempted to hold a meeting in the plaza and been driven out by police. A number of Veterans for Peace activists, most of them veterans of the Vietnam War, formed a line in front of the advancing police that May night and refused to move. They were arrested. Many of these veterans came back to the plaza on rainy, windy night in October to protest in the 11th anniversary of the invasion of Afghanistan and again assert their right to carry out nonviolent protests in public spaces. They included Jay Wenk, an 86-year-old combat veteran of World War II, who served with General George Patton's Third Army in Europe. When he was arrested, Wenk was beating a gong in the downpour as the names of the dead were read. And during the October protest, 25 people were seized by police for refusing to leave the park after 10 p.m. And 12 went to trial last week. A Manhattan criminal court judge, Robert Mandelbaum, on Friday found a dozen activists guilty. The judge, however, quickly threw out his own verdict, calling the case a unique circumstance. Justice, he said, cries out for a dismissal. His dismissal shuts down the possibility of an appeal. The legislative system, the judges, the judicial system, the whole national security state that's invading all of our privacy are taking away our rights to dissent, Dr. Margaret Flowers said, one of the defendants, told me on a lunch break during the trial. But everything that's happening is happening legally. It's a slippery slope. People will look at this case and they're going to say, so what? They were in the park. There was a rule. It was a closing. The police arrested them. That makes sense to me. And they don't put it in the bigger context. That's how all of this is happening. It's all being justified. And the whole system is being flipped on its head. The judicial and law enforcement system should be protecting our rights. We have the right to dissent. It is in the Bill of Rights. The question is, can we halt the slide for a second, maybe even reverse it a little bit?
I don't know.
This is really long.
What does the last paragraph say? Maybe there's a summation there.
The trial was a tiny window on how rattled the state was by Occupy, unfortunately now in disarray. The security organs know that as conditions worsen for the majority of Americans, as austerity cuts and chronic unemployment and underemployment drive tens of millions of families into desperation, as climate change continues to produce extreme and dangerous weather, there remains the threat of another popular backlash. The problem lies not, of course, with the Occupy movement, with the reconfiguration of the government into a handmaiden of corporations that seeks to squeeze profits out of the dying carcass of an empire. The corporate state quest to control all power includes using the military to carry out domestic policing, which is why I sued the president over Section 1221 or 1021 of the National Defense Authorization Act. It is imperative to defend, as the activists did in New York City, with what rights and freedoms we have left. If we remain passive, if we permit the state to continue to use the law to take away our right of political expression, we will have no legal protection of resistance when we will need it most.
That's for sure.
So,
where is that audio piece that you wanted to play?
Oh, yeah, I'll get it. Professor says Zimmerman was let off because God is a white racist. She's the professor of religion in Penn University. University of Pennsylvania, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, she's a black professor there. God is a white racist. Another little quote. In 513 days between Trayvon's shooting and Zimmerman's verdict, 11,106 blacks were murdered by other blacks. Isn't that amazing?
Terrible.
Yes, it's just totally amazing. I can believe that because, you know, what knocks me out is here in Connecticut. Okay, we've had over 25 or 30 gang killings already, drive-by shootings and stuff and guess what? Not one conviction. You know,
no.
They were all blacks against blacks, and black communities.
Terrible.
Yeah, and really unbelievable.
Oh, it's horrible.
So,
that must be a horrible place for ordinary people to live.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
And the frightening thing is that...
They don't seem to care about that.
They don't care about that.
The media just doesn't... They list it as a statistic in the morning.
No,
but
the blacks don't even care about it. You know,
I think ordinary black people do.
Maybe, but they're not. They don't seem to be...
They're probably afraid.
Well, yeah.
If you live in that community and people are getting bumped off all the time, you'd be afraid to open your mouth, too.
Well, with this particular operator, this comes from IJ Review, the independent journal review. It says, to be exact, the shameful truth is that 93% of African-American murders are committed by other African-Americans. That is breathtakingly awful when you consider how incensed the African-American community is about the Trayvon Martin tragedy, no matter what you believe about Zimmerman's guilt. Let's do the gruesome math, not out of morbidity, but because it manifests the incredible self-centered insanity of people like Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton. 8,000 to 9,000 African-Americans are murdered each year. 93% of them by other African Americans. That's 7,905. That's 21.65 murdered each day by other African Americans. Imagine that.
I guess that doesn't count. It doesn't help Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton stay in business.
But he says these race beating. Only to get riled up when a white Hispanic kills an African American. It's absolutely shameful. And I have to agree with that, you know. I have to agree.
I think it's shameful.
I think it's really horrible.
How about getting upset about all these drive-bys?
Yeah.
Somebody do something about that.
Yeah.
I think it's terrible.
It is terrible. And,
those kinds of things infuriate me. I was so angry. I was angry about that. But I was angry about a very simple thing. A friend of ours was in the hospital, and it was a snowy day, and the roads had been plowed out in suburbia in all the white communities, and we had to drive through Hartford. As soon as we got to the Hartford line to get to Hartford Hospital, the plows had not even touched the road. You remember that when we went to see Bill when
yeah.
he was...
It was all through the black community, too.
Yeah, I was furious.
I was really shocked. And I was really, really surprised to see that.
But that's the kind of thing that the black community has to live with.
It's true. It's
terrible.
It's really true. And I'm not down on the black community at all. What I'm down on is the...
whipping up this stupid rage.
Community.
Why don't people whip up a little rage over the fact our civil rights are being taken away?
Exactly.
Be a lot more useful.
I mean,
you have the misery industry, Leo, and that's what it is.
That
people make money off the misery of other human beings.
That's right. And Booker T. Washington.
And he mentioned...
He was talking about Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson. Basically.
People like that.
And that was ACP. Things like that, they just keep bringing it up and keep bringing it up. And, here's an interesting article. I was trying to find this. Where is this? See if this will play.
It's a YouTube video, as well.
It's about 12 minutes long. I don't know if the other one's on. Well, I can play
part of it.
Okay. Put it over there where people can hear.
Hopefully.
And what is it on, Will?
It's on the impeachment of...
That needs of children don't take a summer vacation. The Y and Walmart Foundation are partnering.
This is a guy who's a Supreme Court
Obama
kid.
Is about to be impeached.
He's a
black people.
He's a black guy.
Still defending him.
Black young guy.
And getting offended if anybody says anything about him. Welcome to the Shikama Live Show. This is a more political video. A couple of weeks ago, 2 to 3 weeks ago, the Supreme Court okayed the go-ahead to proceed with impeachment proceedings of Barack Obama, the current president of the United States. Many journalists and reporters have tried to report on this, but their editors have pulled the stories, the news stories, and you cannot find the stories anywhere. They have come out and said that they wrote the stories, that they wrote the pieces, but that their editors pulled them. And when they asked around, other reporters just did not even bother reporting it. I'm not saying that this is a cover-up. I'm saying that this is how business is done in the United States today. You will not hear any mention of this unless you speak specifically with those reporters. Now, why would Obama be impeached? This is something that people are not understanding about politics and about our government and about the legality. Yes, Bush should have been impeached, and probably Bush should have been jailed for the things that he did. Obama would have been the person to come into office and oversee those proceedings to jail Bush for war crimes. However, Obama then proceeded to do his own war crimes, and not only just unconstitutional, but he completely ignored Congress and took away Congress's power to the point that Obama, in practice, is now a dictator. He can move our military without even conferring with or seeking permission from Congress, which is what he is supposed to do, which is one of the few powers Congress legitimately has. He is going to be impeached because of those actions. He has at least four separate actions to impeach him on and try him for treason. Now, if my shows mainly surround the empowerment of black people, how can I empower black people and allow them to defend Obama? It is impossible. For those of you who defend Obama and think that people are talking about something because he's black, you need to wake up and open your eyes to what is really going on. Obama is no more black than Morgan Freeman or Wesley Snipes. Sounds like a weird statement, right? I'm talking about their viewpoints. Obama wouldn't have you as a friend no more than Paula Deen would have you as a friend. How about that? Does that wake you up a little bit? Obama is doing things for corporate America. He is not doing anything for black people. Now, let's get back to the news story. The Supreme Court was conferred upon and gave their tacit consent that everything seemed above board to proceed with impeaching Obama. Along with that comes the wiretapping issue and listening to not just Americans, but listening to Congress. Obama has Congress being wiretapped. This is Nixon all over again. Please, black people, do not get involved in this. Do not try and stand in front of this or put yourself in between Obama and the people who are coming after him. Obama is President Nixon 2, number 2. He is not the knight in shining armor that you think he is. I don't know what you think he is. You seem to have forgotten that he's a politician. But let me tell you, the proceedings for impeachment are going forward. It has nothing to do with his race and everything to do with his actions. He has surrounded himself with piranhas and sharks, and he himself is a piranha and a shark. There is nothing, nothing good about this guy. Nothing. 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 There's no one bright shining moment anywhere in any of his history.
No.
He's been against America. He's been against the United States. He's been against the federal government. He's completely against capitalism. Completely. He's against prosperity and making sure that Americans, normal Americans, average, everyday Americans, prosper. He is against that. That means he's against white people and black people. He is for corporatism. He is for honoring the people who gave him campaign donations. What do you think, they give $1 million away just for nothing? For a thank you? No, they want something. He knows it. He got in bed with them. He is no stranger to it. Running for president was not his first office that he's run for. He has had 3 different offices before this. State, Senate, presidency. He knows exactly what he's doing. Black people, get out of this man's way. Get out of this pool, swimming pool, pit, cesspool. He is not good news. He's not good news. He's not your savior. He's nothing for you. If anything, you should be for Ron Paul and a little less Rand Paul. I don't particularly agree with Rand Paul. I don't think he's a Ron Paul at all. I don't think he's nowhere anywhere close to that. Is there anyone alive today that I would agree with? No, but I think black people should be in the Libertarian Party, the party of freedom. We need freedom. We don't need plantation.
I'm going to stop at that.
He's great.
9 o'clock. You can see the rest of this on YouTube. It's under the, if you go to it, it's under, I can't reduce that for some reason. It's called Impeach Obama. Anyway, I wanted to just quickly read this. It says, this just validates what this guy said. It says, a bipartisan coalition has asked the Supreme Court to give their opinion on potential impeachment proceedings against sitting President Barack Obama. The Supreme Court gave the green light over a month ago. And this was posted in June, or July, last month. But the Supreme Court gave the green light over a month ago. However, many journalists are reporting that their stories about the proceedings and this particular story is being pulled by editors. The Pan-Africanist viewpoint in this black people should be aware of. Let me repeat that. The Pan-Africanist viewpoint is that black people should be aware of what is really going on, and the president and that President Obama is not doing anything to benefit black people
In fact, he's working against us.
Mm-hmm.
That's the...
And white people.
Right.
Anybody that's in the middle class.
Yeah, that's what this guy said. You know, he says that they're not working for anybody.
He doesn't care about you.
No, he's a corporatist, and that's his game, you know.
Monsanto,
yeah.
Merck, all
yeah.
those companies.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
So, he gets together. He has no interest in you, me, just in, he's a fascist.
Yeah, that's what he is.
So,
and,
on that note, we'll
yeah, we're
going to
win. We're
in
the show tonight. And I want to thank everybody who joined
yeah.
us. And, again, please go to YouTube. If you want to check that one out, it's called Supreme Court OK's Obama Impeachment Proceedings. It's under YouTube.
I hope you guys enjoy the rest of the night, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Please tune in.
Good night.
Good night, folks.